Good morning, church. As Evan mentioned, we have dug deep in the bullpen this morning. No, it's awesome. I'm excited to be here this morning. Always excited to get to do this when the opportunity arises. But what's more awesome is what these kids are doing that are not here this morning and where Kevin is. So please be praying for them this week as they go down to Medina and do God's work. How amazing it is to be able to see so many young people. I heard they had to take 3 buses this morning. That's amazing. That's a testament to the work that you do as parents, as grandparents, as brothers and sisters, members of the Lord's church, to encourage these young ones as we give back our time and our effort to raise them up in the Lord's way to go out and do His work. So amen to all of you guys for that this morning. Continue to pray for them, their safe travels. Pray for open hearts, receptive hearts, that they might be able to spread the Word of God in South Texas throughout this week. I told them I went to basic training down there around this time, and it is hot. That's all I could tell them. They said, "What's it? It's hot." That's the best way to describe it. But they'll do good things. I said, "You're young. You can hydrate off Mountain Dew and make it the week. It'll be all right." I laughed this morning. Amber told me, I taught the youth group, so I wasn't in class this morning. And if you were in there, you would have thought I was in there, I guess, because everybody kept going up to her and saying, "Hey, Brad, hey, Amber." I wasn't in there. There's this guy over here who's my little brother, which I say little as in younger. Everybody thought I would look like him. I don't see it as much. But it's always fun to have family here, especially because it gives him good stuff to pick on me about as we go on. But this morning I wanted to take a few minutes. As you can see, the title of our lesson is "Who Turned Out the Lights?" I appreciate that scripture reading, and we're going to touch on that a little bit this morning. But we're also going to be mainly focused in the book of 1 John this morning. So if you want to be turning over there, we're going to get to 1 John here in a few minutes for our scripture reading. We'll be in verses 5 through 10 this morning as we kind of look at the light. So I did say an extra prayer this morning that the slides were going to be in my favor. So we'll see if it works. We're starting out 1 for 1. We're good. I did joke with Grant this morning. I said, it's awful tempting, as honored as I am, to have an extra clicker and sit out there while he's leading singing, because I thought, man, I could just push it forward and backward. And he said, "You do remember I'll have the same clicker when you're preaching." So, touche, Grant. I did not mess with your slides, so please keep yours turned off, because I could screw it up enough myself. So, one thing, if you knew my mama, you knew she loved sunflowers. The one in the middle there is actually one that Amber was growing this year in our yard. The other two I stole from the internet. But one thing about sunflowers that's always stood out to me, and some of you might know or might not know, that sunflowers, from the very beginning stages of blooming, they always point towards the sun. Every day as the sun rises, the sunflower will point to them as a bloom and as a flower, and it will actually follow the sun throughout the day because it knows that's where its nutrients are drawn from. These sunflowers will turn, as you can see. Of course, the one picture I noticed after I put it up there, the sun's behind it, so it kind of threw off my... But the other one's looking at it, so we'll go with that. But they draw their energy from the sun. What an example that is for us as Christians. What better source for us to do first thing in the morning than to look at the sun? And when I say the sun, I mean the S-O-N. But too often, like myself, how often is the light that we look upon first thing in the morning come from a little screen or a big screen or an even bigger screen? How often do we turn on our phones first thing when we wake up and have to catch up on the news that's probably just going to put us down in the dumps anyway, instead of looking at the source of our life, Jesus Christ? So this morning, as we go through this lesson, that's going to be my challenge. I kind of want to look at how we can stay in the light and not allow the darkness to dampen our light And then also try to tie some application in towards the end to help us to walk better in the light and show others the light of Christ. We have so many opportunities to do that. So we're going to read our text now. Like I said, the book of 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5, it says, "This is the message which you have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." What a sad thought to make the one who saved us into a liar. See, lucky for us, we have a true light. As Christians, we have this opportunity to be a part of a light that is not of a physical sense, but rather this light comes from the perfect holiness and the absolute truth of our Creator God. What a blessing that is in itself. I could stop the lesson there and just ponder on that thought. And it should be motivation enough for all of us to go out and shine our light. If you back up a few verses there, if you go back to our scripture reading this morning in John 1, verse 4 through 5, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." You see, God's not just full of light. We talk about that. The scripture says it there. It says, God is not full of light. He is light. When I thought about that, I was trying to compare it to other passages of scripture, and I was drawn to the thought of, if God's not just light, he is light. I was thinking of love. See, God's not just a loving God, he is love. You can't describe God without light, just like you can't describe God without love. John 1:9 says, "The true light, which is Jesus, which gives light to every man coming into the world." So as a kid growing up, I was scared of the dark. I had to have a nightlight or I wasn't going to sleep. Because back then, TVs weren't like today. You didn't keep them on. You probably didn't have one in your room as a kid back then. There certainly wasn't an Alexa or whatever those things are called that you can talk to and turn on lights. So we had the old plug-in nightlight. And if that thing burned out, man, I was getting up and running. I could not sleep without light. I wish I wouldn't have had that habit, because now fast forward 47, almost 48 years, and I still use a nightlight in our bedroom. I've been on camping trips with friends that love total darkness. He's sitting right over here, Eric Lynn, and it was hard to sleep. He wants it silent and dark, and I am the exact opposite. Because as you know, I live with those two beautiful children, and there's no such thing as silence. So we always had a nightlight. Now I fast forward also, and I like to have a nightlight because of my children. Because of this little invention called Legos. If you've ever walked, and I thought about it. We talked about it this morning in youth group. Legos, when I grew up, were more defined, just a little square, pretty good size. Nowadays, if you take a look at Legos, they will impale you if you step on them. This is not just a blunt pain. It will actually stab into your skin. And without that light, It's like walking through a minefield to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, which kids, you will learn as you get older, is common practice. But when I think about that in a Christian sense, about all the ways that we can stumble in the dark, I think back to one thought, and I shared this a few months ago when I gave my testimony, that it all pointed back to my spiritual immaturity. The spiritual immaturity in my walk was the main cause for my stumble. I know I listed off a lot of things that I did and a lot of things that happened in life, but when it all boiled down to it, it was spiritual immaturity that caused me to stumble so often. I heard it once in a sermon at a seminar we were at, and it has stuck with me ever since, and it really stood out to me here when I thought about it, that I was acting like what he called a Peter Pan Christian. And if you know anything about the movie Peter Pan, what was his problem? He didn't want to grow up. He didn't want to grow up and have any responsibilities. He just wanted to enjoy the good things in life and have fun. How many times do we do that as Christians in our walk today? How often do we want to come to the service but let everybody else do the work? And when I say we, I'm talking to myself. How often do we let the busyness of life overtake our responsibilities as Christians to others? And I wrote down a whole list of examples, but just a few that I think of that have caught me in my walk and caused me to stumble is what should be easy things for us as Christians: teaching Bible class, helping with LTC, VBS, preparing meals for people, taking communion to shut-ins. Man, that's something I thought about earlier or the other day when I was putting the lesson together. Man, at Tuttle, we used to do that quite often. We would visit the shut-ins on Sundays right after service, and we'd take communion with us. We'd have a little devotional with them and give communion at their house to them. What joy it brought to their hearts. I can't tell you the last time I've done it. It's because I didn't want to grow up. I just wanted to have fun and let somebody else take care of it. If we don't pay attention to these things, darkness will continue to creep in and overshadow the light. And we know from Scripture that God does not associate with darkness. So if we're trapped in the world, then we're not trapped in God. John 12:35 says, "So Jesus said to them, 'The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he's going.'" So it's important for us to be united with the light. See, in order to become one with God, we must become one with the light. Just like the Father and Son are one with one another, we must too seek to achieve oneness or unity. I referenced the scripture from John 17, one of my favorite prayers in all of Scripture, as our Heavenly Father is preparing to go to what would be His darkest day. He takes time to pray to the Father, not only for Himself and for His apostles, but for us. He prays for all the believers that are to come, that we would all be one and unified together as one, and be one church, to be one family, to be one body, together while here on earth, but more importantly, for eternity with Him. Seems hard to do, especially if the light that you're guiding by is, like I mentioned earlier, some form of outside source or social media. Just alone this last couple weeks, we've had talks with the kids trying to understand why all the commercials on TV are so ugly. It's supposed to be the time of year where we pick leaders to lead our country or our state or our nation into the future to be better and continue to be the best nation in the world, yet we spend thousands upon thousands of dollars just beating each other up. And our kids watch it, and they see it. It's not the light that needs to shine in our kids' lives. So how do we obtain this oneness and this unity? There's only one way. You have to come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, who is our true light. Here's how you do that. You have to start by acknowledging that you are in darkness. And understand how hard it is to be in darkness. I thought about it earlier. What if we were standing here in the middle of this lesson and all the lights went out? It'd be pretty hard for me to read this lesson or to read my scriptures or read through the notes if we were in darkness. Next, you have to make a conscious decision to turn from darkness to light. That's by repenting. Next, you cleanse yourself with the blood of Jesus Christ in baptism, and then we walk in the light. We share in that unity, that oneness with Jesus Christ and with His family. So I got 4 points here that I want to wrap up with. And I can successfully say that we made it to the slide that shut off on me last week. So we're doing good. First point of application I want to talk about is we can't forget to charge our hearts and minds through prayer, meditation, and study. I ask you a question this morning. How many of you here, by show of hands, forget to charge their cell phone at night? How many forget to plug in their smartwatch or their cordless batteries if they've got a task to do the next day or a project? That's what I thought. Just like me, not many hands were raised. How many of us take that same amount of effort and time to recharge our soul and our mind and our hearts before we start the next day? I know I don't do it enough. Number two, ensure that we plug into the right source. Not all who claim to serve God do so with pure motives. Real quick story. It was like 2007, 2008 time frame. I was halfway through my military time in the Air Force. We head overseas for the first time, and I was so excited when I got there to unpack because I had bought an Xbox for the first time, and that was going to be my form of entertainment, to watch movies and play video games while I was deployed, which is about the only other form of entertainment you get when you're in the Middle East. So that was the highlight of my entertainment. So I remember one guy telling me, and I kind of brushed it off when we got there, make sure you don't plug the Xbox directly into the wall charger. It's a plug-in. Just plug it in. It's got a surge protector on it. Just going to plug it in. It's going to be fine. Little did I know that their electricity rate is totally different than ours. And if you don't have this cool little 35-cent adapter, 35 cents is all it costs, from the BX, and put it on the end of your adapter and plug it in, the whole thing blows up. So literally, the second time I had ever plugged that Xbox in, I burned it completely out because I didn't listen. And I plugged it in to too hot of a source, and it melted the electrical cord on my Xbox. So now I had 7 months with an extra paperweight, basically, to collect sand and sit in the bottom of my bag and never get played. Because I didn't listen. 35 cents. cost me $200 to replace everything that got burned up in this thing. But for 35 cents, I could have listened by plugging into the right source. How much more damage can we do in our walk if we're not plugged in to Jesus and only Jesus? It's free. It's not even 35 cents. Our source was paid for already. All we got to do is read it and follow it. But like I said, the key to it is your motives. So as we sit here this morning, or as you leave today, ask yourself this question: where's your heart? And second of all, why are you here? We all have a purpose. Sometimes I think we have to take our own time to reflect on that alone, to truly dig deep and ask ourselves, why am I here in God's kingdom? Next, it's time for us to get off the fence. We cannot embrace the devil while sitting at the feet of God. How often do we see this? I know growing up, that was my favorite thing to do. I could go out on a Saturday night and burn the town down and then show up with the biggest smile on my face on Sunday morning like nobody had a clue. Boy, was I twisted. I guarantee people could see right through me. But in my heart of hearts, I was doing the right thing. I was here on Sunday. I showed up. I took the emblems. I threw some change in the plate. I sang the songs. I bowed my head for the prayer. I took a couple notes in the lesson. I shook hands. I smiled at people. I told them how I was doing. Everything was fine, but at the same time, I was in a complete and full embrace with Satan himself. We said it earlier, God does not associate with darkness. So how can I expect him to give me his all if I can't be all in for him? Fourthly, remember that your electric bill is already paid in full. Christ died for each of us. Each and every person sitting here this morning, each and everybody that is not sitting here this morning, Christ died for. And he just wants us to live for him. But like we said in point three, he doesn't want us to live for him with the devil in our pocket. He wants us to be all in for him. Pretty contrasting picture there when you think of light. Just two simple questions. When it's all said and done and you ask yourself those questions of what am I here for in the kingdom? What am I doing for God? How am I shining my light? Is it going to be eternally? Or will it be turned off forever? Will we shine in heaven with Jesus? Will we shine here on earth for Jesus and share his light with others to bring as many as we can up top? Or will we settle for the bottom because it's more fun and relaxing to run with the status quo? I think about all those that are standing already in that light. A lot of people here this morning got special people there waiting. They probably have the same plea that I have this morning. That if you are faced with a dilemma and you're not in the light, that before you walk out the doors this morning, that you'll make sure that it's right. I have to remind myself of that often this morning driving in. We have these little moments And this morning, for the first time, my brother's in town, like I said, and he drove Mom's car. And every Sunday morning, that was the first thing I saw when I woke up as we back out of the driveway, was I'd look in the rearview mirror, and that little bright orange car with the weird OSU stickers on it would be right behind me. And I'd be like, there's Mama coming to church. And this morning, I look in the rearview mirror, and there's that orange car. Not going to lie, there was a few memories that went down the side of my cheek. But then as I looked through my slides when I got here, I looked at that top slide, and I could just remember what she always told us. Let your light shine and share it with everybody. But make sure you do it every day. Life's short. We don't know how much time we have. Why wait? Why drag your feet on something this important? Maybe you've already made that decision and you are in the light. You're one with Jesus. You've been baptized. You put him on in baptism. You're part of the family, but you've fallen away. You've let your light dim. You've made decisions in your life that you want to make right. We've got a brotherhood of elders here that are just dying to spend time with you in prayer and make sure you are right. So this morning, I just ask you, I plead with you, make it right with Jesus. Don't leave here in the dark when you can put on the true light. I'm going to close in prayer, and then Brother Grant's going to come up and lead us in an invitation song. And if you have any needs this morning, I ask you to come forward. But let's go to God in prayer as we close. Almighty God, what an awesome, awesome God you are. I'm so beyond grateful for your word, dear God, as it guides us as the light in our lives, as it shows us the way to be the people that you've called us to be. And as we wrap up our lesson this morning from your word, dear God, I pray wholeheartedly that if there's someone here this morning in our midst that doesn't know you, dear God, that they will come to do that. If they're hurting, if they're confused, if they're not understanding what's going on, I pray, dear God, that they look for the true source, and that's you. I pray, dear God, that they will find peace where peace is only found. Again, that is in you. Dear God, I can't thank you enough for giving me the words this morning to speak your truth. And I just pray, dear God, as earnestly as possible, that all the glory goes to you. Dear God, just be with this church. Help us to be light shiners that earnestly seek every opportunity possible to go out and spread the gospel, to grow the kingdom here in Yukon and Oklahoma and beyond, dear God. I pray a special prayer for our youth group this morning as they're out in Texas. I pray for safe travels for them. I pray for open hearts, receptive hearts, for eagerness and willingness and boldness to spread the gospel down there. And I pray not only for that, dear God, but I pray that us here as parents and grandparents and fellow Christians will look at that and use it as motivation to do the same here in our communities, our workplaces, and in our own homes. Dear God, we have many, many who need to hear your word. Again, I just thank you for Jesus. I thank you for all the people that are here this morning. And I thank you for your light. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.